This is Derek Favors, number 15 from the Utah Jazz. You're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini.
3-point game, Harris. Pick and roll, Favors takes it strong and one. Oh my, watch Derek Favors take a leap right here.
We're back on Drive Time Sports, 107.3 FM, 750 AM. We're going to talk more NBA basketball. I told you throughout the week, it's going to be heavy, heavy NBA basketball. And joining us right now, a familiar voice here on KOAL, 107.3 FM and 750 AM. He is the host of Triple J NBA Talk, Jabari Davis. Jabari, a pleasure to get you on Drive Time Sports. Thank you very much for the time today.
Definitely great to be on with you, Jordan. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So much happening today in the world of the National Basketball Association, and I want to dive right into the New York Knicks and this situation. I'm not going to say it was a huge shock that the Knicks have said they are open to moving Porzingis. Now, I think it falls in line with a series of blunders on behalf of Phil Jackson, if he is honestly serious about moving Porzingis, which remains to be seen. I know that Phil Jackson is the ultimate player as far as head games, but from what you have heard and what you have been able to gather, is Porzingis legitimately available for an offer short of everything in the kitchen sink?
It certainly sounds like it, but here's the thing. If I'm the New York Knicks organization, I do realize that Phil just, if I'm not mistaken, opted into like those final couple years of that deal. But that's the guy that I'm getting rid of. And you know what? I mean, no disrespect to, you know, an all-time great coach, and, you know, I take nothing away from his, you know, from his legacy on the sideline, but his legacy in the front office has been absolutely atrocious. Quite frankly, Porzingis is realistically the only thing that you can point to that he's done, and we don't even have to get into the fact that he kind of fell into his lap, but you know, it's the only positive thing that on his ledger as a front office individual, in my honest opinion. So if I'm them, you know, regardless of what the roster looks like right now, I would be looking at replacing him as opposed to replacing a guy that, quite frankly, could be a franchise player for a long period of time.
You know, it's funny because the NBA is such a different beast. If we're talking football, basketball, baseball, doesn't matter what we're talking here on the show, the NBA is such a different beast in a sense where one player can really change the fortune of your team. I don't think that's the case in the NFL. I don't think it's the case in baseball. I used the term earlier this week, the analogy, the comparison. If you put Bryce Harper and Clayton Kershaw on the same team, you are not guaranteed a World Series. If you put LeBron James and Kevin Durant on the same team, odds are you're going to win the NBA championship. It's not the case in any other sport outside of the NBA. With that being said, if a team like Boston was to come calling, and I keep using Boston as that team, that X team, you know, if you have the equation drawn up, X team with this trade, because Boston can trump anybody's offer over the next week. We know that. They have the assets, mm-hmm. more assets than they know what to do with. If Boston was to come with a mind-blowing trade offer that involved multiple lottery picks, would Phil not at least be foolish to examine the trade and think about it long and hard?
So in that regard, if you're Phil and you're just looking to press the reset once again, which, you know, I thought that's what he did a few years back, but
right.
We all know that he didn't, because he still had Melo on a team and they were still kind of doing, like, you know, the fake hustle where we're going to put winners around him, but at the same time try to rebuild, which, you know, you can't really serve both masters there. If you're looking to just, you know, go ahead and press that reset button and you want to give Carmelo even more of a reason to be, you know, to be willing to accept some sort of buyout or a trade, you know, that would benefit you, then you go ahead and you do this. Otherwise, it just makes no sense to me. Like, I do think they need to make a choice between, you know, going with Porzingis and building around him or trying to put a winner around Carmelo. I've been saying this for the past 3 years. I just don't understand it even prior to Porzingis getting there. So, yeah, if Boston comes and they're looking to go ahead and press reset and, you know, blow it, you know, completely up, they being the Knicks, then you absolutely have to listen, because, like you said, Boston has all of the assets, not just players on their roster, but, you know, several, if I'm not mistaken, like something like seven first-rounders over the next two or three seasons, and, you know, you have to listen at that stage. But like I said, I'll just go back to you. If I'm the Knicks, I'm not looking to replace the big man on the court. I'm looking to replace the big man up top, because that just makes no sense to me.
No, I'm with you.
Quarterbacking makes no sense to me.
I'm with you in regards to Phil Jackson. I'm with you. However, when I look at New York, Jabari, I think it's past the stage of building a winner around Carmelo Anthony. And to be honest, I'm shocked that Carmelo was still a member of the New York Knicks. I thought that this would be the first item on the agenda for Phil Jackson to move Carmelo Anthony. I still think that gets done this summer. I think it's the last that we've seen of Carmelo in a Knicks uniform.
You're probably right, and you know the funny thing is it probably should have been, but what it did was it bought him a few extra years, because you could always go into like, oh, we're trying to put a winner around him, we're trying to put a winner around him. What he did instead of that was he gave him a huge contract with a no trade clause. You know, he chopped his own right leg off right from the start with the very first move that he made. But I do agree, it probably ends this summer. I would like, you know, quite frankly, I'd like to see Melo on another team. It doesn't make sense to me for him to just continue to be laboring, you know, like, you know, for that franchise. I'm not saying that he's not to blame or he doesn't have his own, you know, a percentage of the blame for the, you know, their struggles over the last couple of years, but it's certainly the bulk of it is not on him, in my honest opinion.
Again, Jabari Davis, our guest right now, as we talk NBA rumors ahead of the draft this Thursday. Jabari, we talked about Paul George, it seemed like the entire show yesterday, but I'm going to go back to it. A lot of teams have called Indiana on the potential, on the possibility of bringing Paul George in via trade. Well, that being said, to me, there seems like only one logical option, and that's Los Angeles, because I just don't see too many teams giving up a boatload in order to rent him for a season, and that includes Cleveland. I just don't see Paul George going anywhere else except L.A. Now, the Lakers were one of the last teams to actually engage in trade talks with the Pacers, maybe because it seems like a foregone conclusion that eventually this is where Paul George is going to end up. Knowing what we know about the lack of leverage that Indiana has in trade talks for a star in Paul George, does he end up in L.A. by Thursday?
Part of me, part of me says yes, but part of me says, you know what? At the very least, by the end of, you know, by the trade deadline of upcoming February, that's not a cop out. That's simply because, you know, if the Pacers are willing or you know, just dead set on being stubborn and saying no, we're going to get a better deal than what we can end, you know, eventually get from the Lakers. You know, you hit it on the head. They're not in a position of power. They absolutely are not in a position of power. They don't have any leverage. So that's why, like, when I hear like rumors like, you know, what about D'Angelo plus the number 2 plus the number 28? It's like, why would the Lakers give that up knowing that Paul George has every intention of coming here? And, you know, you mentioned it earlier. I thought Cleveland was a viable option yesterday. I definitely, you know, thought they were. And then all of a sudden they said, oh, no, not only are we going to probably, you know, step away from these, you know, negotiations, but we're going to go ahead and get rid of our GM, you know, 3 days before the 3 days before the draft. I have no idea what's going on there. So yeah, if I'm the Lakers, I'm sitting back like, hey, look, you can take it or leave it. I will offer you this, and you know, maybe an option or two, but I'm definitely not going to be, you know, I'm not going to bend over backwards for a player that has very clearly stated that he wants to be here in Los Angeles.
You mentioned Cleveland moving on from trade talks with Indiana, and it seemed like they've turned their focus over to Jimmy Butler. Now, in my mind, the most logical place for Jimmy Butler to land was either Boston, again, and I bring up Boston every time a major player is mentioned because of the assets that Danny Ainge has, and we're talking about teams that want to rebuild, but also Minnesota. And I think this is a really interesting trade topic because I do believe Minnesota is going to try to move on from Ricky Rubio. At the same time, Jimmy Butler and Tom Thibodeau just seem like a perfect match. We know what Jimmy Butler became in Chicago under Tom Thibodeau, and now looking as to what Minnesota is building with Karl Anthony Towns, I don't know where Wiggins fits into this scenario, but to me it just seems like Jimmy Butler in Minnesota is a match made in heaven.
It absolutely would be, and it's funny because you mentioned Wiggins. I was going to ask you, well, where does Wiggins go? Are they playing alongside one another? Because that, I think that could be incredible. Obviously, surrounding Karl Anthony Towns, as you mentioned, with both of those wings, or is it a matter of do you think it would take a Wiggins in order to make that deal work?
You know, look, here's the fact. If I'm Minnesota, I trade everything outside of Towns and Wiggins for Jimmy Butler. You can have everything on my roster. That includes Muhammad. That includes Levine. If you give me Wiggins, Butler, and Towns, I'll build the rest of this around free agency. I'll piece me together a playoff team because those three guys alone will get you to the postseason next year.
You've absolutely sold me on this. And quite, you know, to be honest with you, I wanted to see Jimmy in Boston. I wanted to see that. You know, I folks can go, you know, one way or the other on their opinion on this, but I said all along last season they need to go out and get another guy. The fact that they made it to the Eastern Conference Finals with, you know, like, you know, standing pat tells me, yes, I was right. If they had had another guy, maybe they could have competed a little bit better, you know, a little bit more in that series. So whatever they have to do, you know, to bring another guy in there, I think it would be wise. But like I said, you sold me on the Minnesota idea. I would love to see that, not just Butler reconnecting with Thibodeau, but just giving them a little bit more, giving them more pieces, giving, you know, Karl Anthony Towns a guy that they can go, you know, another guy that they can go to, you know, whether it's in the fourth quarter or just to pace them throughout the game. And then also I would love to see him work alongside Wiggins in order to make him a better, in order to hopefully help him to be a better and more consistent defensive player, and a player that can have more of an impact, especially with the measurables that Wiggins has, and as well as the athleticism. So, yeah, no, it's very interesting. It would surprise me, to be honest with you, that if it would surprise me to see Jimmy Butler remain in Chicago this season. I would be more surprised, to be honest with you. I'd be more surprised if Jimmy Butler isn't moved by the right around the draft or at that time than PG, because I think PG, for whatever reason, it seems like if they don't get what they want, they may try to hold out.
We got to talk about the Utah Jazz. Gordon Hayward is a guy that I thought was 90 to 95% done staying in Utah. I didn't think there was any way that Gordon Hayward would actually leave. Now you start to hear rumblings that maybe Boston and Miami are both threats to Gordon Hayward. And I think this makes it very interesting for the Jazz, because there are a couple of really interesting names that I think Utah should be interested in come free agency period. But this is also a team that owns two first-round draft picks. In your mind, is Gordon Hayward leaving Utah tipped in any particular way, in your opinion?
I think if he does leave, you're probably right on those destinations. It would be interesting to see what would take place in Indiana, if they were to clean house. But if I'm the Utah Jazz, I'm sorry. I mean no disrespect, obviously, when I say this. It's very difficult for them to get top talent in there on the free agency market. So when you have a homegrown guy, and obviously you know what I mean in terms of growing up within the organization, I feel like you kind of have to go do whatever it takes in order to keep that guy there. I'm right there along with you in terms of, I thought he was probably about 95% that he would end up staying. I think Utah has to do whatever it takes, whether it's repairing a fracture or giving him the comfort that he needs in order to stay in town. To be honest, if I'm Utah, if I'm Dennis Lindsay, I'm doing whatever it takes in order to keep him.
Look, if I'm Dennis Lindsay, there's one very, very reasonable contract on the books that I'm trying to move to create as much space possible to attract a free agent, not a stellar free agent, but a free agent that you can put alongside of a Rudy Gobert and a Gordon Hayward to make it even more enticing, and that's Derek Favors. I've said this for 3 years now. Move on from Derek Favors. Jabari, he's in the final year of his contract, and now all of a sudden, Derek Favors at 1 year, $12 million, very low risk, high reward for any team out there. To me, that seems like the logical name that Utah would have to move on from if they're trying to make this roster more complete to entice Hayward to stay long-term.
You know, it's funny. The last time I mentioned Derek Favors and trade rumors, I got in a little bit of trouble. So what I'll say is this. That makes total sense. That is the individual that they should, if it would help, convince Gordon Hayward to stay. I don't know what their relationship is like, or what the situation is. But if it would help them, if it would help them put a better team around them, maybe balance that roster out a little bit more. I definitely agree. And also because Derek Favors is really good at what he does. He's not a superstar, but he's a very serviceable guy at what he does. He can provide, all types of impact, below the rim, or excuse me, around the rim and around the basket. Especially given that the contract situation, he would be a favorable guy if I'm an opposing GM looking to do some work with the Jets.
Speaking of the Jazz, Spencer Checkets of 1280 The Zone tweeted out earlier today that the Jazz have made inquiries to teams about potentially moving up into the lottery. We'll quote that as Spencer Checkets, not David Locke, right, Jabari?
Absolutely. all respect in the world to each of those individuals, but yeah, I'll go with Spencer on that.
Jabari, it is a pleasure to get you back on the show, talk some NBA basketball. I know you look forward to the draft just like myself and all the listeners out there. It's almost like Christmas in the NBA. We hit the reset button. Everybody's undefeated right now, and unfortunately, all we can do is just sit back.
Exactly. I'm looking forward to it. Everybody complains, once the season's over, but, the NBA has done a really good job. I mentioned it, this past weekend on, Triple Threat Radio. The NBA has done a really good job of making themselves, in some way or another, a year-round event, whether it's the draft coming up, and then right after that, I think next Tuesday, you got the awards, and then just after that, you got free agency started, and then the summer league. It's going to be an absolutely fun and entertaining summer.
Definitely. Give Jabari a follow on Twitter. Definitely around the NBA draft. It's a hot time on Twitter. That's at Jabari Davis NBA. Correct? At Jabari Davis NBA?
Yes, sir.
All right, Jabari. Always a pleasure to get you on. We'll do it again soon.
Truly my pleasure. Anytime, just let me know.
We're going to break for just a moment. We don't have more Drive Time Sports coming up. When we return, we'll take a look at potential landing spots for some of the guys that the Jazz may be eyeing with pick number 30. And of course, they also have 24. That's coming up next here on Drive Time Sports.